Welcome to the Hospitality Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Turk. Join me as we dive into the personal stories of some of the world's best hospitality professionals. We follow the journey of their ups, downs, and wild turns to find out what it truly takes to make it in the amazing world of hospitality. Welcome to another episode of the Hospitality Mentor Podcast. And today, I'm very excited to have Mauro Pino, Vice President of Sales and Marketing at the Aqualina Resort. Mauro, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was excited. I came in unannounced to your resort a couple of weeks ago to do the 50 Hotels in 50 Day Challenge. And I got to say, your team was on point. So congratulations for that.
Thank you. I can't take much credit for the team itself. What I can tell you is that the culture here is amazing, right? And it's always a culture of going above and beyond and being very participative. Everyone's very involved with everything that's happening on property. So it's definitely a team effort, and it's definitely a culture that has been cultivated and created and continues to be cultivated and created day after day.
I love it, Ben. So let's get started on the very first question we always ask. What was your first position in hospitality?
I have two responses to that.
Okay.
The first was I waited tables. I think it's how some of us have begun. But the reason I say it's two responses, that really did not last long, and it was not necessarily what I consider my first hospitality experience, per se, right? So I started there, then I did a couple of jobs after that, things related to essentially design and music. I wanted to be a musician, but I ended up as a sales manager for the Fasano Hotels. That's my first real hospitality position. The Fasano Hotels in Sao Paulo, which at the time was the only Fasano property. Nowadays they have I think 8 properties around South America and one in New York City. But that was oddly my first position, which I know that a sales manager as a first position is interesting. And it was even more interesting how I ended up getting the position. I studied business management with an emphasis in hospitality, but in reality, I was not sure if hospitality was for me. It was something that, again, as I said, I wanted to be a musician. So the reason that I did business management with emphasis in hospitality is largely to do with my mom. And she always believed in the hospitality industry. She said, but this is something that's going to be there forever. If you want to be a musician, fine, but you do have to have a degree. So I went to school for that. And in my searches, right, and who I wanted to become and what is it that I wanted to do with my life? I had a girlfriend at the time. She worked at the gym, and one of her people that she was training was the director of sales and marketing of said hotel of the Fasano in Sao Paulo. And I was brought up in Brazil, but I was also brought up in Canada. So part of my childhood was actually in Montreal, which means that I speak French. Wow. And yeah, it's a mix, I tell you. It was a very mixed childhood. But the byproduct of that is that I speak Portuguese and I speak French as well. And this gentleman, his name is Dominic Lade, a big friend of mine until today. He's French, and she thought that we would do well together. And she knew that I was trying to find a place to land, but I didn't know what. She was very convinced that going to hospitality was going to work for me. So one day she actually printed a CV that I didn't make. She made it, and she put it into his gym bag. And months later, I got this call from this person at the Fasano, which I didn't know, asking me to go and speak for a job that I had no idea what it was, inside of an industry that even though I had gone to college for, I really didn't knew, right? So it was completely out of the blue for me. And I ended up having a great conversation with Dominic and with the team. I went back a couple of times, and one day he said, "Do you want to come and join the team as a sales manager?" And again, to this day, whenever I tell the story, I get surprised, right, by the leap of faith that was bestowed upon me, because I really didn't know much about it. But he had a faith that I was be able to talk to people and be able to, I guess, at the end of the day, defend the value proposition. I had always been very passionate about anything that I would put my mind into. So I think he saw that in me, and that was
amazing. So first job, sales manager at Fazano Hotels. Now, you know, just curious, looking back, would you do that for somebody now that you're in the role that you're in? Would you
absolutely, 100%, absolutely. I think that for it, what we do is passion, right? We're in the business of people, right? It's about being empathetic, putting yourself into someone else's shoes, having a passion to make someone smile, and getting some gratification from creating something, from creating a state, from creating an experience. I would absolutely do the same. I've done the same. You know, I paid it forward because I think that it changed my life. It brought me where I am, and I'm a very happy person doing what I do. And if I can do that for another human being, absolutely would do it.
So what was it like? Because you worked with Fazano for a long time. Yes, you were there for several years. I think it was 8 years in total, if I looked at it correctly. And they were going to open in Miami at one point. I'm not sure what happened. I remember it was like a point they were going to open, I think, at the Short Club or something. Was that part of what you were doing, or was that after?
I was part of the initial conversations. But with that, it's just just like anything else, like Miami is a very very fluid market, and there's a real estate component to it. So depending on the fluidity of the market, I think that didn't quite work. But I hear that the project, not at the same location, but the Miami project has gain strength again. So I think we're about to see news about a new facility in Miami in the coming months.
So you're growing there. You're there 8 years. You grow through the ranks. What was it that you think you did so well? What were you doing that you were able to climb the ladder there and maintain for so long? Because a lot of salespeople don't stick around for that many years.
I think you touched on something very important. It is the sticking around. I'm a thorough believer in loyalty in a two-way street. And I'm a firm believer that if you love something, if you feel like this is the right thing for you, you put in the hours, right? You put in the effort more than the hours itself. So I think one of the things that got me to where I am and to be successful in that position and to go up in that position is that I've always wanted to do, just a little bit more than what I was, my job description was. I've always been incredibly interested in how it get made, right? How does the revenue management work? How does marketing work? How does reservation work? So I would never really shy away from any challenges. For the contrary, I wasn't a group person, for instance. I was doing leisure, so I was responsible for just B2B accounts for transients. But whenever there was a group, because it was such a small property, there was no group personnel, no group sales, I would jump in and I would learn how to put together a group contract, and was attrition and how you put it together and how you blend the rates. Same thing for revenue management. It was such a small property that there was no revenue manager at the time. Mm-hmm. But my mother was from the airline industry, which came up with a revenue management concept back in the 70s. So I was always very curious to how could I generate some value to the hotel by just being curious, right? And just sticking around, just trying to do something and talk around and try to implement my ideas little by little, or just to try to communicate what I had in mind to the ones that would be able to implement that ideas. And that's contagious. I feel like if you love what you're doing, you've had ideas. Of course, there's a lot of experiences, things that you don't know, no concept that you're not really aware of, but the fact that you're there and that you're wanting to contribute, you're sticking around, provide a force that there's, as I said, a two-way loyalty, but you're there, you become an asset by the fact that you're curious and you want to contribute. So I think that that's one of the things that kind of shaped my career, especially at those earlier days, was being there, participating, having ideas. Some of it stuck, some of it didn't, but it was quite clear for everyone involved that I wanted the business to do well. I felt good when the business did well, I felt pride. And I think this is beneficial for both parties.
I think that's great advice for especially anyone in any level is really putting in that effort. Is there someone that kind of sticks out in your mind that, like, if you were to point, like, right away, like, that person really helped me? Was there, like, someone who kind of guided you along as you were growing within the company?
There were a lot. I would say Dominic, still to this day, you know, talking about mentorship, is still my mentor. I still, first person, still someone that I can easily call, send a WhatsApp message, and he'll be there. So I still look very much up to him for guidance. There was a former CEO at the Fasano. His name was Paulo Antunes, a great person with a great personality, also incredibly open and available in that position to be able to share. He was very analytical, someone very criterious, very good with numbers. So, you know, Dominic was always very emotional, very fire in the gut. Type of guy, whereas Paulo was a little bit more composed and a little bit more, you know, cool. And that, you know, that duo worked very well for me. They helped me to kind of tap into both sides of my own psyche, my emotional commitment, and also my rational, cold, analytical side. So yeah, so those two, but they're many more. I mean, the Fasano was, as you said, he was an 8.5-year
stint. Right? We're not going to make anyone feel bad. He was just the first one that came to mind.
For sure. All of them were important.
Well, you're doing, look, you're there. You are promoted up the ranks. You become associate director of sales and marketing for Fasano. All things are firing in all cylinders. But then a big, interesting change comes. Not only do you leave the city, but you leave the company. Mm-hmm. How does that happen? Because that seemed to be a pretty big change, especially for, like, other listeners out there. How did that happen?
It was difficult. It happened. It's part of the hospitality, right? Hospitality, especially in a luxury, is a very small community, right? So it's about relationships, and regardless which position you're in, it really is a small ecosystem in which you can, and it's likely, if it is something that you want happening, that you can explore other locations and other countries. And I always wanted to explore other places. Having been brought up into different countries, it was always part of my DNA to explore the world a little bit. And that was relationship. We created relationships, and we never always build bridges, never ever burn them. Especially, you know, in any industry, but our industry, as I said, it's such a small community. So that was a key relationship. It was a key relationship that I developed with someone at Starwood, Chris Austin, still a very good friend to this day. And we bonded. We talked about many things while I was at the Fasano. And every time that I was coming to Miami for sales calls, he still lives here, and we'd go for meal and just talk about any everything. And because he was a Starwood, one day there was this opportunity that appeared at the San Francisco Harbor, and it was to take care of the Latin American accounts. So it's 100% completely fixed to what I was doing at the time.
Right.
And because that relationship was existing and we had a close relationship, he just sent me a nudge and said, you should apply for this. And as I said in the beginning, it was hard because of the loyalty. I always felt towards the Fasano that loyalty, the be there and have these ideas. And, you know, as you said, I was growing up the ranks. So it was really difficult at that time. But at the same time, it was something that it was a dream of mine, right? So at one point, when it comes, you have to grab it.
So you end up in our hometown here now of Miami at the beautiful St. Regis Bell Harbor. Two very different companies now. You went from Fasano, you know, kind of small boutique, or not to say boutique, but smaller company. You joined Starwood, major player. I think it was before Marriott bought it, right? So you're at the St. Regis, which is a premier property, maybe in the country, and doing sales. What was the difference when you got there? Was it like a culture shock when you started, or was it like, oh, sales is sales, I'll make it happen?
Oh, no, it was very different. First and foremost, structure. there was a lot where, you know, when the Fasano, it was, well, I'm not going to say it's flying by the seat of your pants. Of course, there's a structure, but it's a different level of structure, right? You have a more, improvised to a certain extent. Is a little bit more gut feeling until some certain extent, and there's a different level of freedom as well to what you can do. So ideas flow more freely, and you apply them, but you have different resources. Most of the things that you do in an independent, you know, is based on the little resources that you have. So you have to be very intrepid in order to be able to make gains when you're talking about a small independent. Whereas in my experience, at least, going to Starwood, it was big resources, big structure. Everything was really structured. Everything was well documented in processes, and it was really plug and play, I would say. At the same time, there were growing pains because I was so accustomed to just having these grand ideas and changing,
like, nope,
and saying we should do this and we should do that. And because of the structure, right? Because it is such a big conglomerate, and there was the necessity of keeping things under control. The cultural shock for me was mostly all of these great ideas that I wanted to put together. They were respectfully blocked. I say, well, you have other ways of doing things. So here's a toolkit. Use the toolkit. Yeah. So for me, it was a little bit difficult on that side, for sure. But still, an amazing experience.
No, and I've been there. You know, I've worked at different hotels, different sizes, and I started to get more entrepreneurial at certain hotels that were independently owned, and I love that vibe. And then I would go to another more structured hotel, and it was just like that. Like, oh, that's cute, Steve, but we don't do that here. That's not how it works. Let's shut that idea down. But thank you for bringing it to the table. So for people out there, how do they decide hotels like that? Because that's hard. You know, sometimes they see a nice job, a big name, good money, city they want to go to. But sometimes it can be a grind. How would you advise somebody that's maybe looking at that decision right now?
I think it's very important for you to know yourself. It's very important for you to know what makes you tick, right? Because you want to be happy at what you do. This is it's an industry, and it's a job that requires you to have your heart in it. It's very hard to do it successfully just being passive. So you have to know what is it that works for you. And what makes you happy at the end of the day, right? So it's not about always the title, it's not about the city, it's not necessarily about the property, it's about that job also fulfills your own personal needs and your professional needs, and how you are able to work your talents and get back home at the end of the day and feel that you have had a fulfilling day. So it's really important to think about that whenever opportunities arise, and you also have that conversation. This is who I am. This is what I like. I know, me personally, I like to fix things. I like to have ideas and fix whatever processes or anything that might not be working in its optimum. And it took me a while to be able to understand who I am, what's my professional profile, and the way that I could clearly state it. But nowadays, I know. So it makes it easier as well whenever, you know, if there's an opportunity to say, well, this is what I do, and this is what I like doing, this is what I do well. Does it fit your organization? Because sometimes it doesn't, and that's okay too.
That's great advice. I think for anyone listening, rewind that last 30 seconds. Mauro gave some good advice about choosing a place that fits you. So you're at this hotel, you're crushing your sales goals, you're doing a good job, but the Aquilina Hotel seems to come knocking, right? They come knocking, they're looking for a new dynamic leader in their sales area. Talk to me about this change and how this happens.
Yes. So I was there, and you know, as we said, I think it's a good feedback from what we're talking about. Know yourself, right? So throughout that stint in at the St. Regis, one thing that, you know, was lacking and that I felt in my heart that I needed were for these ideas to take root, right? It's important to me. It's something that makes me feel professionally accomplished, and it was very difficult to have that. You know, that feeling of professional progress happening at that position, at that property. So one day, I had an incredible conversation with Deborah Yeager Fleming, the CEO at Aquilina, and it was very clear from the first 10 minutes of conversation that the intent was never to steal share, it was never to shift share. The intent was to create share. And to create share, you have to be a dynamic, creative, you know, out of the box thinker that wants to do things differently and trail your own path forward. And that for me was just music to my ears, because it was essentially everything that I like doing. So we had a scintillating 2 hours conversation, two hours and a half conversation, I believe, in which all of these, you know, I felt like stretching. I felt like my neurons were just stretching with imagination, were stretching with ideas, and all of that, of course, we have to put processes, and there's very different ways of going about exercising that professional creativity. But it is an environment that then not only welcomes it, it asks for it. So for me, it was a very turning table conversation in my life. After that, I knew as soon as I got back in the car, and I remember driving, my wife was just having dinner with some friends, and she asked me, how was it? And I said, if I do get a call, I'm going to jump at that opportunity, because I think that this is exactly what I was meant to, at a place that I feel like we're meant to stay. And with a mentor, with a person that I know gets it, right? In the same way that I get it, she gets it. So yeah, it was very easy. That one was an easy decision, not to take anything away from the St. Regis, of course. I had a fantastic time there, but it was just where my heart was, and I could feel it in my heart that it was something that I really wanted to do.
So these are conversations that change lives, right? There's like this, how did that happen? Was it a networking event? Was it a friend of a friend? Was it something online? Because those kind of chances in life, you have to be ready to strike when it happens. So how did that happen?
And once again, it's about the relationships. So in this particular case, João Aníbal was the director of leading hotels of the world in Brazil. Worked while I was at the Fazano, because the Fazano was also part of the leading hotels of the world. He got wind of that opportunity that Apolino was looking for a new sales leader. And because we had the relationship, and we have the relationship that we have, and the experience of working together in Brazil, he was the one that actually connected me and Deborah. So it goes back to, you know, those key relationships in your professional life are very incredibly important. And you know, if you're out there, and if you're open, and if you keep those bridges open and flowing, it's really a matter of time until they connect you to where you want to go.
I love it. So you're at the Aquilina. It's now up to this time, 12 years in a row, 5-star, 5-diamond, award-winning property, best resort and hotel by U.S. News. I always see, right? It's amazing to see how well this hotel does. It's such like a trophy property for our city. What was it like, and what is it like being there and selling and marketing that property?
First and foremost, it's a delight to be able to have the opportunity to do so. Right? And as you said, this property, you know, it's world-class. It's one of the best resorts in the world. And to be able to be in the front lines of defending the value proposition, and you know, be given the trust, not only from Deborah and from the ownership, but also from all of the team members, right? To be able to continue that route and just improve upon what we have built for so many years is delightful. And I do pinch myself sometimes just to make sure that I am fully awake. But it's also, you know, there's a lot of pressure that comes along with that too. You know, this is a incredibly competitive market, and is a market that has grown a lot over the past 5 years. It is a market that continues to grow and will grow. So it becomes very competitive in many ways. There is, you know, growing demand, which is also good, right? And so we have both sides. We have a lot of competition, and we have growth as well. So there's a lot of opportunity around. But it is a high pressure environment, and it's part of the ability to learn how to cope with it. It's also something to develop. And I'm not going to lie. At the beginning, it was a lot. It was a lot to contend with. It was a lot to take. It's normal, and I think it's human to take, you know, personal at one point in time, you know, if the results are good, if the results are not good necessarily, to take it on a personal level. And it takes a little time to be able to separate things from your, you know, personal journey to your professional journey. And yes, there is some overlap, but I needed to, it took me a little bit of time to be able to separate the two, the pressure where it is, and then the ecstasy, you know, where it is, and then just keep it in the right places in my mind, so that I could also, you know, come back home and be fully present with my family. Yep. But it is still incredibly delightful, and I have to say, every single day is a different day. And if there's one thing that working here isn't, is mundane or boring. It's active, it is dynamic, it's a challenge, it's a different challenge. After 7 years being here myself, you think you've seen it all, and you really didn't. So it keeps you fresh, and it keeps you very excited.
Now, I want to come back to some of those things, but there's an interesting turn in your journey. So listeners, I'm talking to Mauro as his position at the Aqualina, but he makes a change and he leaves this world-class resort. Talk to me about this, because this is an interesting project, and I was trying to understand, were you trying to send people to space, or were you going to space? What was happening? Give the viewers a 30-second download here.
I was trying to prepare people to go to space if they wanted to, but so the journey with Orbeet was a very interesting journey as a project that is still ongoing. It's a little delayed. One of the reasons why you know it didn't quite work for me, but it's a project that with Philippe Stark and other personalities in the luxury hospitality to prepare. So it's a, think of it as a space camp, but for adults with five-star accommodations and Michelin star restaurants. Living through the real preparation of what an astronaut feels like, so the G-forces and the zero gravity and the simulations, so that if you get to a point where you want to partake on Virgin Galactic, for instance, or partake on any of these other...
like SpaceX or Amazon. Hotel,
exactly, novel space experiences, you already know what the feeling is, so you're not really necessarily... kind of pain to see if it is for you or not. So it's kind of like try before you buy. It was a fantastic idea, and I'm sure it's still going to be very successful, but it takes a while. You know, these are the kind of things that are so avant-garde that it's between the concept and actually bringing it to reality. There's a lot of bumps on the road, and it's just in my professional moment, it wasn't really quite the moment to stick around for a longer time while things develop. Definitely a good challenge.
But I love this because it sounds like a cool idea. So Orbite, I got to check it out. I got to research a little bit more. I was just like looking at it. But I had something like this in my career where I had like a pit stop, or I had asked for a pit stop. So I was in Doral. I wanted to start my own company, a big staffing company, which I ended up selling, which was good news. But the way I did it, I asked the GM. I said, look, I have this idea. It's slow this summer. Can I get a month to leave? And if it doesn't work, can I come back? And he... gracious guy, David Fader, rest in peace, David Fader. He said, Steve, take it. You have one chance in this life. Go do some things. And if it doesn't work, come on back. Was this kind of like that? Or was this like, where are you going? You're going to space camp and then you're going to come back? How was that for you?
I mean, the elegance in which Deborah and the team welcomed that change, I think will forever be in my heart, because it was a simple, I mean, everyone was very curious, usually honest and simple. What is it again? Where? Space? But with open arms, everyone was very much
amazing.
Sending me off with good vibes and good energies. And yeah, so much so that of course, I returned, and it's been great. But yeah, I think everyone was very complimentary to the idea, and even thinking of corporate outings in the facility when it opened. So yes, I think that's the part of what we've been talking about here today, right? These are those bridges, you know, that you build and you keep building and keep them open, because you never know. But incredibly graceful.
Well, it's a great thing, because a lot of people don't have that chance. So it's amazing. It shows how hard you worked and how much that hotel that you work with now loves you and respects you, because they welcomed you back. And now I want to talk just a little bit of getting in the weeds a little bit, because you're the first person really from the sales and marketing side that we've had on the podcast, usually a lot more operations. Mm-hmm. So when you're selling this hotel, like world-class, I want to talk about conferences because we've had a lot of people talk about conferences, and like some conferences are not very good, others are doing well. Are you a believer in going to conferences, or is it changing in the world right now where it's more online and inviting people to the property, or is it multi-prong? I mean, maybe not one answer, but how do you feel about conferences right now?
I think that they're very important. Again, we are in a business that is people with people, right? And it is about relationships. Selling is about relationships. At this level, it is not a transaction. We're not selling transactions in luxury. We're selling experiences. And part of the experience is having someone at the other end that is able to fulfill the experience that you promised. Right? So if you're talking about, you know, you're going to a conference and it's a B2B, it's travel advisors and hotels that are coming together. I have an experience that I know very well. You know, this European, high luxury, incredibly personalized, small boutique experience that I know we can deliver. I go and I'll talk and I'll defend that value proposition. But at the same time, I need to build trust. I need to show that this experience that I'm talking about, it will take place. And it will take place because I'm here. I will take place because my team's here. I will take place because we'll make sure that this happens. And that relationship, you know, that trust. These travel advisors are entrusting clients that are entrusting their trips to them, right? So it's a responsibility at the end of the day to be able to deliver upon that promise. And there's nothing like having one-on-one, eye-to-eye, a close relationship so that someone can trust you and you feel that trust, you feel the pressure of that trust, and you know you need to deliver upon that trust because your word is all you got at the end of the day, and you do deliver on that, right? And then you generate happiness and then you generate loyalty, and that travel partner will say, you know what? Whenever I send them to Aquilino, they have a great time because Mauro's there, because his team is there. So I'm going to send more of them there because that's a safe bet. So I am a thorough believer in it. Now, there is a lot going on. There are a lot of conferences, and I feel like post-COVID, our hunger for being together and connecting has only augmented. So we do need to be careful from just a, you know, budgeting perspective. Right? You need to be able to pick and choose, and you need to be able to do a mix of things because you can only stretch yourself so thin, especially when you are in luxury and you need to be a little more involved. But for sure, the connections and the one-to-one, I don't think can be replaced by connectivity and distribution only.
I like that answer. So with that, you're building, you said, trust with the people coming. And so your brand, this Aquilino brand, is really well-known everywhere. So well-known that people want to live there. They're buying residences. Like, you're creating this whole lifestyle around the brand. How important now? Like, there's so many new technologies. Like, I was just watching OpenAI and Google putting out their AI and all this stuff that's coming out. Are you keeping an eye on how to use AI to really help your branding and marketing? Is that something you're doing right now?
Not for sure. I think that part of our job is to embrace, you know, technology, and you know, you automate the predictable so you can humanize, you know, the other moments. So yes, absolutely.
Well, rewind. What did you just say? That's a good quote. Can you tell that one more time?
I don't think it's mine. I think Matthew Church from Virtuoso.
That's all right.
I'm not going to coin it, and I'm not necessarily paraphrasing, but it's something on the lines that you automate the predictable so you can humanize everything else.
I like it.
Which is exactly what we're doing. I mean, we want to be technologically savvy and really well informed and how to utilize, you know, AI and any other tools, right? Any other automation, integration between system. I am personally very involved because, as we were talking about in the beginning of it, you know, my function in sales and marketing, in my mind, it's beyond the sales. It's beyond, you know, what is social media management, digital marketing management. It's really about the customer journey, because customer journey is marketing. Customer journey is sales. If you have a happy customer that has had a great relationship with the brand from any point, upper funnel, you know, lower funnel, purchase, post sale, it's a happy consumer that's going to come back. And we have 50% repeat guests because we're very integrated into all that. So I think we need to embrace technology and, again, know how to use it in the smartest of way so that we then have that time back and use that time back to build those relationships, to generate that value of the trust, the the passion, be able to communicate that, have the time to be able to deliver upon that and going above the expectations. So 100% for anyone listening, I would say embrace it and take the time to look at how can it help you with the, you know, the most mundane things, because it will get you some time back, and then use that time efficiently and effectively to generate some new ideas or changes or things that we've been craving for, but just have really the time to tackle.
I love it, because there's not many people in hospitality, not say many, a lot of people I talk to are not using any of it. They're not using a lot of the new tools, and I'm shocked. So I'm glad to hear that you're talking about it, because I think it makes people more efficient, especially those mid-level managers that are getting crushed from below and above and all the requests coming through. I really want to start teaching that some more to people. So I'm glad that you're doing that as well at your property. I love hearing that. And so, look, we talked about the marketing piece, and you know, this might be more PR, but we see it a lot, all these social media influencers, people who can now have the ability to really drive business. Is that something that you all look at as something important at your hotel? Is it like just a piece of the sales? How do you see that now?
It is important. It is important. I think that you have to, it has to be in line with the brand, right? I think that we have our brand values. We know what we bring to our client, and you know, a different level of influencers. Some are more fit, others might not be the right fit for this property, and good fit for other properties. So I think it's part of the equation for sure. We, as far as ambassadors and as far as influencers go, a lot of that reside in the travel community for us. So we do have, you know, some ambassadors of the brand that are travel advisors or owner of agencies that do advocate for us very much. So it's some of it is on, you know, the direct consumer and public arenas such as our social media, but some of it is also from a B2B perspective. So like that, those are the two part of the response, or two elements that we are, myself in my position, and it's just adds to the, you know, to our distribution, to our strategies.
I like it. So I know we're running a little bit long on time here, but if you were looking at this next year, I'm not looking for your 5-year plan, but what are you most excited about in like the next 12 to 24 months at the hotel or for yourself?
I'm very excited with some renovation that we're actually working on. We're redoing our fitness center. And we believe very much as a brand in, you know, the wellness, you know, body, mind, and soul. So we're doing our fitness center, which should be ready in a couple of months. After that, we're going to tackle the meeting space. And we're going to have a proper, beautiful ballroom. It's going to look amazing. And I'm very, very excited about that, because little by little, we're not a big group house, but we do have some high-level board meetings and weddings and incentives. So to be able to offer a renovated ballroom and meeting space is going to be excellent. Bar and a renovated restaurant space. So there's some very interesting and exciting changes happening on property. So I'm very looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the year too. I mean, I think we're looking at a great year so far. We can see, as I said, the demand and the interest for Miami, which it's super exciting to see, right? Especially after the peaks of COVID and, you know, Europe back online, that the interest for Miami, for our able to offer, has not diminished. If anything, it has increased. So we put Miami very much as one of the main travel destinations and beach destinations in the world. So that's very, very exciting. And I think we're going to have a fantastic year ahead, and even better 2025 after all of these projects already. So very much looking forward to everything.
That's very exciting. All right, now I have to come back and check out the property once the renovations are done, because the property is already beautiful. So I'm excited to see how that enhances everything. All right, Mauro. So if you had young Mauro, no sales experience, walking into your office today, becoming a sales manager, what advice are you giving him today about this industry?
It's about people. It's about your love for people and keeping wearing your heart on your sleeve as it relates to that. So remember, it this is about every single hospitality professional. They're the ones that make this incredible industry happen day after day. And everyone in hospitality is incredibly important. Every position, everyone that you move across paths with are contributing to making dreams come true and making people happy. Your the technical, the skill set, what you know, nomenclature, you know, cause and effect, those kinds of things you will get to know, you will learn, you will make mistakes. But at the end of the day, it's about the people. So be part of it, listen, contribute. As long as you remember at your heart that it is about the people that are around you. And when you have your own team members that you know, give those chances, you open the door, you allow everyone to have an idea, everyone to contribute. That's how you make a positive mark, and that's how you grow in this industry. So just keep that in mind. Everything else will fall in place.
Love it. I love it, Mauro. Great advice to young Mauro coming up the ranks. Mauro, you gave some great advice, great stories. If somebody wanted to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Sure. Feel free to send me an email at Mauro, M-A-U-R-O, .pinho, P-I-N-H-O, at aquilina.com. And also, if you want to use about Aquilina, feel free to follow us at Aquilina Resort on Instagram, because there's always some great news happening there. And I look forward to hearing from anyone.
I love it. Well, Mauro, very grateful you spent this time with us, and we appreciate you joining.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
This podcast is brought to you by Biscayne Coffee. Biscayne Coffee was founded with a giving spirit and a big idea to enjoy delicious coffee roasted in Miami while helping save Biscayne Bay and the animals that live there. As a former food and beverage director, I can assure you these are some of the best quality beans on the planet. 10% of every coffee sold is donated to nonprofits to help preserve Biscayne Bay for all to enjoy. Visit BiscayneCoffee.com today and use promo code MENTOR at checkout to save 10% on your first order. Drink good coffee and create a good outcome.